Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Colossians chapter 3? We'll begin in verse 12 in a moment. May also assist you to locate this piece of paper in your order of service entitled, Like Paul, Use Your Gifts to Serve. History tells us that Napoleon Bonaparte, that great French leader, had gathered his generals in the war room. There was a large world map on the back of the room. And he walked over to that map and he placed his hand on China. And he made this far-reaching statement. He said, China is like a sleeping giant. And if it ever wakes up, it will be unstoppable. Those certainly were prophetic words. And I was in China last year and I think China is fully wide awake. But I'm here to tell you those words could apply to the Church of Jesus Christ. Because I believe much of the Church of Jesus seems to be asleep. There are 2.3 billion people worldwide who claim to be followers of Christ. Yet are we making a difference in the darkness? Could it be that we are more asleep than awake? Is the Church of Jesus more snoring than soaring? Is the Church of Jesus more spectating than participating in God's work? You see, the goal of God is for us to wake up. I heard a funny story about a second grade Sunday school teacher, and she asked the children one day, she said, children, boys and girls, do you know why the ushers ask everybody not to talk during church? One boy said, yes, because we don't want to wake up the people who are asleep. I'm afraid that's painfully close to true. You can have your eyes wide open and be totally zoned out. So let me zone you in. Let me dial you in. Here is the goal of God. Would you make this note? God's game plan is for unleashing the body of Christ so that we can be like Paul, so that we can use our gifts to serve. That's God's goal for you. He has given you a special assignment. In the same way He has given you a unique fingerprint, He has given you a unique assignment in the kingdom, and He wants to equip you to do that assignment. That's why we, for the last few weeks, have been studying spiritual gifts. He wants you to live in 3D, where you discover, you develop, you deploy these spiritual gifts to serve the Lord. And when you do that, when you become a practitioner of the great commandment of loving God and others, and the great commission, telling the world about Jesus, when you do that, your life will explode in a fountain of joy and purpose because you are doing your assignment. Certainly that was true with a man by the name of Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer was a unique man of God. You perhaps have heard this saying. I heard this when I was a freshman at Baylor University, and I wrote it down in my Bible's flyleaf. Albert Schweitzer, the great missionary doctor, said, the only ones among us who will be truly happy are those who have discovered how to serve in Jesus' name. Do you know the story of Schweitzer? He was off the chart brilliant. He had 4 earned PhDs. He had a PhD in math, in music, in ministry, and in medicine. He was a doctor. He could do anything, anywhere for anybody, and yet God called him to go to one of the poorest places in the world, Gabon, West Africa. And there for 40 years, he became a medical missionary. And he lived out this statement. Listen to it again. The only ones among us who will be truly happy are those who have discovered how to serve in Jesus' name. Albert Schweitzer, 1953, won the Nobel Peace Prize because of his remarkable service in the human family. So let me make it crystal clear. My goal is to wake you up. My goal is to unleash you so that you are able to do the assignment God has given to you, and therefore expand His kingdom and reap a harvest of joy. Well, let's come now to the scripture and hear God's living word in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And especially note verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, help us to be practitioners of Colossians 3:17. Whatever we do in word or deed, may it be an offering to you. Father, I pray that you would wake us up, unleash us as the body of Christ here in Montgomery, Alabama. Get me out of the way, Lord, so that your Spirit could take these transforming truths and deposit them into every receptive heart. We ask for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's plunge in. Number one, here's what I want you to do. To be unleashed and to move from being a spectator to a participator, you've got to begin with discovery. So make that note, discovery. Now, here's the ultimate goal. We learned in Mark 10:45 that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought to follow His pattern. And what did Jesus create as a pattern? Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Paul added it like this in Philippians 2, had this attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, He humbled Himself, He emptied Himself. And what did He do? He took on the form of a servant. So the very example of Jesus is serving. And that's what He invites us to become, servants on His behalf. Now, if you want to be an effective servant of Jesus Christ, I've created for you a simple acrostic, S-E-R-V-E. And it's almost like factors in an equation. And if you'll put this equation together properly, you will see the place that you are best suited to serve. But let's start with S. S stands for spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts. Now, at conversion, the Spirit of Jesus comes into your spirit, and His presence starts to produce fruits. There are 9 of them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're listed in Galatians. But when you're connected to Jesus, then you're changed. Your character starts to replicate the character of Jesus, and you replace hate with love. You replace anger with joy. You replace peace with restlessness. Instead of being out of control, you're self-controlled. That's what happens when Jesus comes into your life and He starts to rearrange your character so that people confuse you for Jesus. Have you ever had anybody come up and say, Dan, you sure remind me of Jesus? You do. Well, that's what people should do constantly. They should look at you and they should see Jesus because His Spirit is reproducing His character in your life. And then He gives you gifts. Now, what do the gifts do? The gifts replicate the ministries of Jesus. There are 3 gift lists. There's 1 in Ephesians 4, 1 in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 in Romans 12. The Romans 12 is the gift lists that we studied last week. And these are the 7 fundamental or foundational gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, mercy, and administration. You have at least one of those. You may have all of them. Jesus did. But what I want you to do is get in tune with your giftedness, your spiritual gift. You've got one, and I want you to discover it and use it. Now, the E, let's keep going. The E in serve stands for enthusiasm. The E is for enthusiasm. It says in 1 Samuel 12:20, serve the Lord with all your heart. In other words, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, passionately. So let me ask you this question. What are you enthusiastic about? What are you passionate about? What grabs your interest? What makes your heart beat faster? Now see, your passion is always linked to your purpose. So whatever you're passionate about is going to link to your purpose. When people come to see me and they're at a crossroads of decision making, and on countless occasions people have said, Jay, would you counsel with me? What do you see me doing? And I always ask this question, if money were no object and you didn't care what people said or thought about you, what would you go do? In other words, what is your passion pull? Is it technology? Is it truck driving? Is it medicine? Is it ministry? Is it music? Is it lawn care? Is it lawyering? Is it contracting? Is it coaching? I mean, what are you pulled toward? And then when people get in touch with their passion and their pull, then they begin to assess what they're enthusiastic about, and their passion always links to their purpose. Now remember this, your vocation may not be ministry, but you should always minister within your vocation. Did you get that? Your vocation may not be ministry, but you should always minister within your vocation, because we read it in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do as it unto the Lord. If you're preaching a sermon, I'm doing this right now unto the Lord. This is what I'm called to do. But whatever you're called to do, if it's drive a truck, or if it's to heal the broken because you're in medicine, whatever you do in word or deed, what are you to do? Do it as an offering unto the Lord. You see, that's the call of God for your life. So it's very, very important for you to understand that your passion should be used to fulfill your assignment in the kingdom. Let me give you an example. Some of you are very gifted with children. I know my wife, Mary Ruth, she has this phenomenal gift with children. She's just a natural childcare giver. She's been an incredible mother. She was an award-winning teacher. She's taught for 25 years in our two-year-olds. She teaches GAs. I know what a teacher and their gifts look like, and many of you have that gift. Now, when you use that gift in the kingdom, it makes a huge difference. Let me give you an example. You see, we have hundreds and hundreds of people that teach our children. We have people who teach in the preschool. We have people who do vacation Bible school. They do RAs. They do GAs. They do Bible drill. We have children's choir where we disciple kids. You see, if you had that gift of mentoring a child because you have this natural ability to connect with a child, that's a very special gift you can use for the kingdom. Let's just say that your passion or your enthusiasm is music. We have one of the greatest music programs in this church that I'm aware of in the country. You see, we sing heart music, and it's discipling music that has good theology, and it has depth and meaning. It's not just entertainment. It's equipping the body of Christ. So when we have these instrumentalists up here and our singers, do you know what we're doing? We're letting people use their gifts to build a body. When we have the Living Christmas Tree, oh, my favorite event of the year. Don't y'all love that tree? When we put that Living Christmas Tree together, we are using about 300 musicians, all kind of different musicians, our kids' choirs, we use our student choirs, we use our adult choirs, we use our instrumentalists, and it all comes together, orchestrated to a crescendo of lifting up Jesus, because people are using their passion for God's purpose. That's how it works. So get in touch with what you're enthusiastic about, and then identify that passion and use it as a tool for the Lord. Your relational style is R. Your relational style. Let me explain that. That's your personality. Your relational style or personality. You see, everybody has been given by God a special set let me compare it to a woodworker. You've been given a personality that's like the grain in wood. You know, the first thing that a woodworker does before they start to carve on a piece of wood or work with the wood is they study the grain of the wood. Because if you work against the grain, you're going to create weakness. But if you work with the grain, then you know what you're doing, and you're going to make something that's going to be beautiful and useful. Now, that's how God does. God has given you a personality, and your personality is the grain of your emotional makeup. Now, different people have different personalities, don't they? There are some people who are introverts, others are extroverts. Some people are wired to be inside, others are designed to be outside. Some people are thinkers, others are feelers. Some people are leaders, others are followers. We all have different personalities. You can take all kinds of tests to see what kind of personality you have. My favorite one is the simplest one I've ever seen by John Trent. He basically says there are four personalities and they link to four animals and four Bible characters. See which one you are. There is the lion. The lion is the leader. The lion roars. The lion is like Peter preaching at Pentecost. Is that you? Are you the lion? Then there's the otter. The otter is the social connector. The otter is like Andrew. Do you remember how Andrew was always bringing somebody to Jesus, connecting with him? He brought Peter to Jesus. He brought the Greeks to Jesus. He brought the little lad with the lunch to Jesus. Maybe that's who you are, a socially connected person. Maybe you're like the golden retriever. The golden retriever is that steady Eddie person. I like to think of John, the beloved disciple, as the golden retriever. A lot of you are like that. You are just loyalist. You're here. Always can count on you. That's how John was. Everybody abandoned Jesus, but at the foot of the cross, who was at the foot of the cross? John. John didn't run. And John took on the assignment of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then there's the beaver. The beaver. That's like the CPA. That's the person who gets the task done. They put their nose down, they grind it through, and they arrive at the finish line. Oh, you need some beavers on your team. I would think that may be Matthew. Matthew had been a tax collector. He handled money. And it was Matthew who took all the copious notes that created the Gospel of Matthew. Now, which are you? Do you tend to be that beaver that gets everything done? Are you the golden retriever, the loyalist, always there? Maybe you're the otter, the social connector, the life of the party. Or maybe you're that Peter-like leader lion. You see, God has given you a personality. And you are wise if you understand your personality, make, and type, so that just like woodworking, you work with the grain of your personality. If you are a leader, it's hard to put you in the back room and make you do the bookkeeping. That just doesn't fit. But if you're the bookkeeper, it's hard to put you up front and make you the leader. So understand your personality, because that's part of how God has wired you for your serving. The V stands for vocational skills. Vocational skills linked to your natural abilities. They're inborn, they're hardwired. Some people are artistic, some people are athletic, some people have a great gift for academics, some people are good with math, others good with music, some people can cook. This is your vocational skill. Now somebody's out there saying, Jay, you just don't know me, I don't have any skills. I don't have a skill one. There's a great Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney. You see, every survey indicates that all of us have between 500 to 700 identifiable skills. And to say you have no skills is basically an insult to the God who created you. And frankly, it's just an excuse for why you're not doing anything. But you do have a large number of gifts, talents, skills, and abilities. So what you need to do is identify those. Now remember again, not everybody is called to a vocational ministry, but everybody should use your vocation to minister. Let me give you an example of this, one that I really like. His name is Rush Stallings. Many of you know Rush Stallings in our church. That's a picture of Rush and Shan. Do you know where they are? Alabama Fair, because Rush is a fair man. Well, anyway, he's at the Alabama Fair. He was actually the head of the fair. But you know what else Rush has done? Rush, as a little kid, loved to build things. He just naturally had that toolbox. He'd follow his dad around. He had a hammer. He would always be nailing something down. And he went into construction. And when it came time for us to do this monumental task as an old downtown church to build a new sanctuary, which people scoffed at and some even mocked, do you know who did the building? That man right there, Rush Stallings. He assembled his tools. He had a little hammer and a saw and a screwdriver. No, he didn't. He always says, yeah, I built it myself with a little help. But he built this sanctuary. Then he built over here the new education building, 40,000 square feet more. And then Rush is tackling a new project because we're building a new caring center in the next few months right across the way. Because Rush understands Colossians chapter 3. Look on your worksheet. Here is Rush Stallings' marching orders. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That is his heart, and that should be your heart no matter what you're doing. A reporter was interviewing three men on a work site, and this reporter came up to the first guy and said, what are you doing? This guy said, I am laying bricks. He went to the second person and said, what are you doing? The next fellow said, I'm making $20 an hour. Then the reporter went to the third fellow, said, what are you doing? He said, I am building a church to the glory of God. All three people doing the same task, but they had a different perspective. And here is the goal. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord for his glory. Use your skills. And lastly, your experiences. The E stands for experiences. I want you to analyze your background, your upbringing, your education, your work experience, your travel. Analyze the problems that you have faced. I know so many people who've gotten into a mess, and that mess has become their ministry. They've gotten addicted. They've been wounded. They've made mistakes. And yet God doesn't throw us away. He gives us a second chance. The scripture says in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. My most notable example is Jason and Catherine, my kids. Here's Jason in law school. He's a bright guy. He's going to be a lawyer, go out and change the world. Catherine is going to be, her goal is to win an Oscar and to stand in the Kodak Theater on that red carpet and hold up an Oscar to the glory of God. Those were their stated goals. And yet God threw them a curveball. Catherine had a massive stroke. All their plans went out the window. And yet today they have a ministry from their mess. Their mess has become their ministry. It's called Hope Heals. And I can guarantee you, they are making an enormous impact here and frankly in a lot of different places because they are using their hard experiences to the glory of God. I don't know what's happened to you, but if you've got a pulse, you've had a problem. You've made a mess in some area. But don't waste that pain. Turn it into spiritual gain. Make that mess your ministry. Use these experiences for the kingdom of God. So when you put that all together, this is your call to serve, your spiritual gifts, your enthusiasm, your relational style, your vocational skills, and your experiences enable you to be fitted to serve. Which takes us now to the next step, and that is dedication. This is so important because a lot of talented people do nothing for the Lord. You can have all kinds of talents, but if you don't use them for the Lord, then it's a waste. And here's the key, it's dedication. Let me take you for just a moment all the way back to Genesis 4 on your worksheet. And there we meet Moses at the burning bush. Here is Moses, 80 years old. He's a has-been. He's a fugitive. He's made mistakes. He doesn't have anything to give back to the Lord. And suddenly, this old grizzled shepherd on the backside of nowhere bumps into a burning bush, and God gives him an assignment, a shocking new assignment, to go and set his people free. And here's what God asked Moses. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? Moses says, well, just a staff. But for a shepherd, a staff is more than a stick. Really, a staff was his security and his identity. You see, if a predator came to attack you or your sheep or some old snake or a robber came, man, that staff became your baseball bat. It became his identity. For the last 40 years, that's all he knew. He was no longer the prince of Egypt. He was a shepherd. But what did God say? He said, Moses, I want you to release that staff. And he did. And you remember the story? That staff became a snake. I hate snakes. And particularly, it's believed that it was a black mamba, the most deadly snake on the planet, because that's the primary snake in the area around Mount Oreb. And so God says, Moses, pick up that snake by its tail. And when he picked up that snake, all of a sudden, the rod of Moses had become the rod of God. And he used that rod to defeat the Egyptian army, to split the Red Sea, to set his people free. That's what happened when the rod of Moses was dedicated to the purpose of God. Oh, my friend, would God ask you today, what's in your hand? What talent, what ability, what treasure is in your hand? Would you release it back to the Lord? Would you surrender it to Him? Would you dedicate it to Him? Which brings us to the last point. Once again, after you dedicate, you deploy. You deploy. Become a doer of the word. You see, it's time to be unleashed. It's time to wake up, to serve, to experience that exhilarating fulfillment and joy that comes when you do the Lord's work. The other day, I was driving to Birmingham. I was heading up there to do a funeral for Miss Pat Lancaster, and I got behind an 18-wheeler. And that 18-wheeler had the best sticker on the back bumper. Here's what it said. God spoke to me through the bumper of an 18-wheeler. That bumper sticker said, any job, any time, anywhere. Call 1-800. And I thought, that's what God wants of me. He wants me to have this attitude that I'll do for Him any job, any time, anywhere. Call 1-800-J-WOLF. No, 1-800-HIS-TEAM. That's what you call. And if you're ready to be unleashed, let's call on Him right now. Let's pray. Oh, Father. Father, thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.